of your door. See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes himself to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
We have some work to do this morning, and God will help us. So, throughout the month of March, we've been talking about what we've called my God and my gold, right? And praise the Lord. The first part of these teachings, we have been emphasizing on what I can call the consecration aspect of money. And so last week we talked about stewardship, money, wealth, and eternity. And there are still a lot of things we have to cover, but we're out of time. The moment is almost done. But by the grace of God, we will cover them in Jesus' name. So please, this time around, I mean it. Anticipate some more YouTube teachings to cover up. We're going to talk about, we are beginning something today, how God prospers. We are going to do part one, part two, because it's a lot. I tried to talk about it during the all night, but I think I'm learning that I thought I can use gaze to cover up lost ground in the teaching curriculum. As we worship and pray, we will also learn a lot, but I should just leave it at that. I think all night is for the move of the Spirit, for power, signs and wonders, worship, praise. I should just remove teaching. Praise the Lord. So, we still have a lot to look at. We're talking about how God prospers. I still have to talk about the giving code. All that the Bible says about giving, tithing, vows, seed sowing, and all of that. We still have to talk about faith for finances. How to use your faith for finances. And let me tell you something. If there's anybody to learn about faith for finances from, I'm standing in front of you. Hey, it's been 7 years plus since I resigned from the oil industry. Since then till now, I've not worked for any company again. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Let me talk like my mentor in that field. We are owing nobody, living or dead. Actually, we are owing nobody, living or dead. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, how God prospers, part one. And we began during the all night by defining prosperity according to the Bible. So, prosperity according to the Bible is not necessarily flamboyance, but a condition where a man has everything he needs to achieve God's divine plan for his life. See what I mean? Prosperity is a condition where a man has everything he needs to achieve God's divine plan for his life. So you see, Genesis 24 verse 1 says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Say after me, all things. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Praise the Lord. "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having sufficiency in all things." Are you seeing this? Sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So, for the work that God has prepared for you, for the destiny that God has prepared for you, you always have. That is God's plan. Are you with me? That when it's time to pay children's school fees, you have it. When you have got to the point in your life where you need to buy a car, you can buy it. When it's time to give to the work of God, you can give. When it's time to send people to school, you can send them to school. Are you with me? Are you with me? So kingdom prosperity is sufficiency. See, that means sufficiency. Meaning you have what you need to do what needs to be done. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Remember when Jesus needed to pay tax and they met him and said, "Master, it's time to pay tax." And the scenario in Matthew 17 looked like he was not with any cash at the moment. And then Jesus told Peter in verse 27, Matthew 17, verse 27, says, "Go into the sea and fish. The first fish that comes out, open his mouth, and there will be money inside." What kind of life is that? You are too rich to be carrying money around. What I said. He's operating from a level of prosperity where even though there is nothing with him, he's still not broke. Are you with me? Satan is sufficiency. And then we began to talk about why we should teach prosperity and why you should contend for prosperity. We said prosperity is required for the full execution of God's plan. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17 says, "Through prosperity shall my cities be yet spread abroad." We have already established from previous teachings that money is not everything. And in fact, the love of money is the root of all evil. From all the teachings we've done in the past, in the last 3 weeks, trying to show you the biblical perspective of money. You see, money is a bad master, but a good servant. If money is ruling over you, you will become a terrible person. But if money is serving you, you can do many great things. Are you with me? Are you with me? It's a bad master, but a very good servant. You see, money in and of itself is not bad. It takes up the nature of the bearer. So if you have money, money will take up your nature. It can be sent to destroy people. It can be sent to build people. Praise the Lord. So prosperity is required for the full execution of God's plan. That's why you should contend for it. And I'm going to show you how to contend as we go on in this teaching. We said number two, God's will is prosperity. Psalm 35 verse 27. If you summarize that verse, it's simply saying that God is delighted to see his servants prosper. It says, "Praise the Lord, O ye his saints. Celebrate the Lord who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants." Now, there are some times in your walk with God where you will have to choose poverty because you want to build in the will of God. And we have to talk about that. The church needs to know that too. If you are in an office and they want to defraud the company of maybe 100 million, and now your line manager is beginning to maltreat you and deprive you of some bonuses, and as it were, you seem to be losing one or two things, it seems like you are becoming poor simply because you want to stand in the will of God. Is that poverty required? Yes. To do the will of God, sometimes, in such cases, you have to choose that way. Sometimes there are some missionaries that will be sent into interior villages to preach, and there's no brainer. Those pastors in the villages who are going to be there preaching the gospel, they may never fly a private jet. Are you with me? They may never even have a car. So but in that sense, their poverty is advancing the will of God. Their poverty is advancing the kingdom of God. But you see, when your poverty is doing nothing for the kingdom of God, it is useless. Yes, did you hear what I just said? When your poverty has no contribution to the will of God, the plan of God, it is useless poverty. It is useless suffering. You know, Jesus says, "Blessed are you when you are reviled and persecuted for my name's sake." So, sometimes you may have to choose suffering for the name of Christ. But suffering for the sake of suffering profits nothing to the kingdom. Yes, are you with me? But when you are suffering for the name of Christ, it is worth it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So only persecution and being reviled or suffering for the name of Christ is what is required. Sometimes you may have to choose that. And that is why we cannot blandly say that if a person is not a billionaire, he's not a serious Christian. No, that's wrong. Are you with me? Are you with me? But when you are not suffering for Christ, when you are not losing things in the name of Christ, please prosper. Tell your neighbor, please prosper. Prosper for the sake of Christ. Number three, prosperity won't happen automatically. Prosperity won't happen automatically. The only thing in our Christian faith that is solely God's responsibility without the involvement of man is salvation. Every other thing, from spiritual growth, divine health,
there is a God side to it and there is a man side to it. You have a part to play. Are you with me? Healing can come as a gift. You can be prayed for by the gift of the Spirit and you receive your healing. But if you will walk in divine health, it's not all about God. There is a part you have to play. You cannot be taking 4 bottles of Coke every day and think you will walk in divine health. No, sir. It will not happen. Somebody, the way somebody looked at me like, Pastor, that bullet is for me. Yes, set your head well. Collect it. You cannot be consuming sugar. Ah. Like, I don't understand. Some people, I don't understand. I talked about one during the whole night. You are stressing your body every time. You want to eat bread. You will press the 50 slices of bread together. Press it down. Shaking together, running over. A whole loaf. Those ones that don't cut. Some people like it like that. Say, I don't like the one they have cut. I like it succulent and soft. Bring it. You will squeeze it like this. They will turn. Oh my God. Those days in the university, you will see boys. By the time you eat that thing, you will now go and sleep in the toilet for 4 hours. Stomach is confused. Which one will I digest? So, every other blessing in Christ, there is a human part and there is a supernatural part. There is a natural part and there is a supernatural part. Are you with me? And even our natural life demonstrates this. The things in nature have a way of demonstrating the way God operates. For instance, if you look at the human body, do you discover that most of the parts that we use to walk are in pairs? For instance, you have 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, 2 legs, 2 hands. If any of these parts of your body is reduced by 1, you know it has impacted great distress. Where is Minister Joshua? I wanted him to demonstrate. He's my go-to person for demonstration. Hey, Minister Joshua, come. As you're coming, from that camera stand, try and use 1 leg and walk to this place. Raise 1 leg up. For not being around, that's your punishment. Oh my, he will soon follow. Okay. Try. You can do it. You will feel it. Okay, now that you are in the front, let's demonstrate. Try and raise 1 leg up. Let's do very well. Try and walk from here to that place with 1 leg. I beg them for. Try. Oh, yeah. Stop. Put your leg down. Imagine trying to walk with 1 leg. It is so painful. It is so difficult. It is so hard. Imagine trying to walk with only 1 hand. Imagine trying to see with only 1 eye. Then, the annoying one. Imagine trying to breathe with only 1 nostril. Those times when you have kata. I believe kata is underrated. Ah, Jesus. Cold and kata is low-key dangerous. You see, there is a way kata can annoy you. You will not wish it for your enemy. What is this? So God knew that you need both. Yes, sir. You need both. In the same way, that is how it is when you are trying to achieve prosperity with only natural forces or only supernatural forces. You need the both. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
There are supernatural things to do if you will walk in prosperity, and there are natural things to do if you will walk in prosperity. There are some people that say, oh, it's not by all this prayer, or it's not about all this spirituality, it's not about all this giving. Church, they scam you. Go and hustle. Okay. Are people not hustling? The race is not to the swift. The battle is strong. It's not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but the God that showeth mercy. See, there are some experiences in your life that happens, and God uses it to remind you it's not by your power. Even when it looks like it was your effort that produced the result, even then, it's not still by your power. Because you can if you have lived long enough, you will remember at least one time in your life where you did everything right, everything correct, but it still did not work out. Praise the Lord. Then there are some that think it's only by prayer. There are other things that must be done. They think it's only by seed sowing, giving, the leading of the Spirit. There are other things that must be done. Even in the operation of healing. Even in the operation of healing, you still need both natural forces and supernatural forces. I remember I was studying a book some years ago by the great man of God, late Paul Yonggi Cho. He said there was a lady in their church who died. And the church began to pray for her. And she came back to life. Listen to what I want to say. She came back to life. And she came to church and was dancing and dancing and dancing. While she was dancing in church, the Lord spoke to him and said, tell her to stop dancing and go and eat. But the lady refused that she wants to begin fasting. You just came out from, there was a miracle. Paul Yonggi Cho tried everything, but she did not listen. She died again. The next week, she died again. And this time, the prayer did not work. There are some people that say, they don't believe in prayer. They don't believe in miracles. It's all about medicine. Go and take your drugs. Go to the hospital. Have you not ever heard people say things like this? The person is not responding to treatment. Have you heard something like that before? Meaning the doctors are doing what they know to do, but it's not working. That's why doctors with sense will tell you, we treat, but God heals. That your body will respond to a chemical somebody put inside, that's a miracle. So faith and medicine are not enemies. The natural and the supernatural are not enemies. They must just be put in their rightful place. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Principles and miracles are not enemies. They must just be put in their rightful place. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
With that said, that means there are natural things to do to experience prosperity, and there are supernatural things to do. Or I can put it like this. There is a natural way to contend for your prosperity, and there are supernatural ways to contend for your prosperity. And you must use both. Are you with me? Let me show you something. Look at Job chapter 1. Tell your neighbor, don't be bored. Job chapter 1 from verse, let's say from verse 7. Who knows the story of Job? Job is one of the oldest books of the Bible. Actually, it's arguably the oldest. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Verse 9. Read on with me from verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for nothing or for naught? Now, everybody read this. This is what I want to show you. Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, and has blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? Hey, this is profound. So, in the physical, when you see Job, all you will see is that he's a businessman, he's doing business, and he's prospering.
Yes,
but in the spirit realm, the devil is telling God that there is actually a hedge round about Job. That is why his business is prospering.
Yeah.
His hand, the work of his hand is actually blessed. That is why the business is working. So, if you were in Job's office, you may not know that there is a blessing in that office. You just discover, oh, we apply for jobs, we get clients, and that's all. To you, you are just in natural process, but in the spirit, It was the devil that was testifying, because both God and the devil, they are in the spirit realm. They know what is happening.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So in the spirit, there is a blessing, but on ground, somebody is walking. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So you must use both the supernatural and the natural. So after me, the two forces are required. Both the natural and the supernatural. During the all night, I was trying to talk about some of the supernatural ways to contend for your prosperity, but we couldn't. I talked about proper connection to God. I talked about, remind me, prophetic purpose, sacrificial giving. Then we couldn't go into divine instructions, then divine power. And I dare add supernatural faith. And so, I'm going to do another teaching about that, probably midweek service. Please, please, follow it. Listen to it. In fact, I think I have to do many teachings on that to show you the supernatural side. But today, I want to talk about the lesser one, the natural side, which is also very important. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The natural things to do to experience prosperity. The reason why I'm talking about it is because it's supposed to be common sense, but I have discovered that common sense is not common practice. I am telling you, there are some people, I wonder, see, the church, we have work. As it stands now, the church has the responsibility to teach everything. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You know, if you study the Bible, you will discover that when it talks about the blessings of God, it uses this word, multiply. Have you noticed? And Jesus multiplied bread. Do you know what that means? If you say 0 times 1, you will have 0. 0 times 1 million is 0. So if there is nothing for God to multiply, you can never make it. Oh my God. Let me tell you something. It's not a curse, but there are some people, they will never make it. With the way I've seen some people's life, if you like empty Goya oil upon them, pray corrosive tongues, mantoko ponkon perakaka pita pakaria takakai, they will never make it. Because what is God going to multiply? Okay, Jesus wants to feed 5,000 men, aside women and children. What do you have? God has to begin with something. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
God wants to promote David. He will begin with his sling. He will begin with his harp. There has to be something. So number one, natural side to prosperity, you must have a value-adding skill. Say for me, value-adding skill. Proverbs 18 verse 16 says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9 from verse 10 to 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 from verse 10 to 11. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, you know what? Everybody, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whithersoever that goeth. See. Even if you don't have some tech skill, you don't have some deep some math skill there. Even if you are a cleaner, do it with all thy might. I'm sure Admin and Pastor Kenny will understand why I'm vibrating like this. Do it with all thy might. Ah, God. Today, I go talk.
Yes, sir.
There are some people that will never make it. Ah! Now, look at verse 11. After he says, do everything with all thy might. Look at verse 11. He says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor battle to the strong, continue with me. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happened to them all. Who are the them all? Men of skill. Men of understanding. The wise. That means if you are not wise, you are not strong. You are not a man of skill. You are not a man of understanding. Time and chance will never happen to you. Because the context of the people that he says to them all are these people. Meaning it is only when you are a man of skill, a man of understanding, a man that is given to his assignment, that is when God can even stage an opportunity for you.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Time and chance happened to them all. So now, if God wants to blow you up, what will he use?
Yes, sir.
What will he use? What skill do you have? Are you learning something? Are you training yourself on something? Do you sharpen your mind? When last did you engage in, I want to improve the way my mind is. I need to get better. I need to read. I need to do something. I need to learn something. If somebody calls you and says, I want to just employ you, what can you do? Tell me, what can you do? What will you say? That is something. If you can do your best, that is something. Because some people cannot do their best. They give the barest minimum to everything. And that takes me to number two. Well, before number two, let me still stay on this number one. See, you must learn to add value if you will ever see prosperity. Anywhere you go, make up your mind to add value. Make up your mind that people come across your path and they get better. You enter into a place, you make sure it gets better. Have what is called initiative. You can... please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You enter your boss's office. He's looking dirty. Say, sir. And do you mind if I just help you arrange this? I'm not talking about... See, if you like, say, it's eye service, no problem. You see someone carrying a lot of stuff. Can I help you? You are thinking of, how can I add value? How can I add value? How can I add value? You are staying with someone. How can I just contribute to this person? How can I contribute to this person? Let me tell you, if you are like that, you already have the, what I can call the raw material. That's what all these things is raw material for prosperity. Look at Joseph. See, maybe there was more to Joseph that made Jacob make a coat of many colors for him. Maybe there was more to him. Maybe it was not just that he was born of Rachel. Maybe there was something about his character that was quite different from the other brothers. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. The Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. This was when he was in Egypt, a slave. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper. Verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight and served him. And he made him an overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. Now, look at verse 5 and verse 6. Can we read it together? And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all, everybody verse 6 now, with a loud voice. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not what he had, save the bread which he did eat. Oh my God. Can someone commit all that he has into your hand, and can go and sleep? When you are staying in a place, can they be sure? Don't worry, that guy will take care of everything. I just want to find out, please, is there food for me? And the person is sure that it's only the food that he eats that he should be bothered with. Are you following what I'm saying? You don't need a prophet or to rack your brain to tell you that Joseph was a meticulous person. He was a He was someone that was serious about whatever he's given to do. Such that a whole Potiphar can leave everything to Joseph. Leave everything. Say after me, value. Now, do you realize that what was helping Joseph here was not interpretation of dreams? So, it was not interpreting dream. It was not anything supernatural as it were. It was just that the guy had, he heard it there. He was a sound guy. If you give him something to do, he was a sound guy. There is a way somebody will do a work for you. You will be so... Your money is 5K. Don't worry, I'll give you 7K. So many of you have experienced things like that, right?
Yes,
somebody did work for you to the point where you were like, No, 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 you deserve more than that. After a while, you say, no, I need to call that guy again. Eric Gagua did something recently. He had one mechanic that if you put money in the car, the guy will not steal it. The guy will repair it. When he repairs the car, he will wash the car, clean it, drive it back to the house. The guy did it one day and he was... He came online and was like, this man is just... He put the man's number online. The man said, sir. The guy came back to say, see, the customers are too much now. That takes me to the next thing. The spirit of diligence. And you can also put in brackets an entrepreneurial spirit or an enterprising spirit. I wanted to shoot somebody, but the person is not around. I wanted to shoot somebody, but it's just that person is not in service. But I will still shoot. Anywhere the person is, you collect. We employed somebody, some people, to be cleaners. See, as a pastor, I've seen it. Some people will suffer. No, I'm serious. Like, we employed you, we are paying you. Your job is to clean, just come and clean. But every time we come for a meeting, the place will be very dirty. It will be very dirty. I and leaders will start cleaning the place. We'll start walking, sometimes I'm like, don't you see this? Don't you see this? Every time excuse. Okay, why was this place not kept? Did this thing like this? Did this thing like this? The cloud fell down and the moon was not crying. Every time excuse. Proverbs 22 verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He will stand before kings and not mean men. I wanted to give myself as an example, but it may look like, Pastor, I don't want to preach now, so you now make it look like it's... But it's the truth. I worked in 3 companies before I resigned. If you go to any of those companies, I can mention their names. They are all in Port Harcourt. Go there. If you can go there and ask the MD or the CEO or the managers, who was David? Who was David? Some people that knew me in the university, they can tell you. When I did my IT report, for the next 5 years, my IT report was a template. You don't understand. I remember that one of those days I visited my school. I saw somebody scrolling something on the laptop. I said, that looks like my IT report. How did you get it? Yeah, all the engineering students, we use it to arrange our... You know those materials that you see somebody solve as a tutorial? My it was tutorial. I will see my handwriting there. I'm like, how did you get it? Say, are you the one? I said, it's me. He says, my face just in there. Meticulous. I remember working for a company that was into computer-aided design. At a point, the number of customers coming to the office reduced. So, our boss came and we were praying in the morning. You know those offices that they do morning devotion? praying, praying. God bring clients, God bring clients. And I asked the marketing officer, I said, would you mind if I take some days off, I go to then in Port Harcourt, there's a place called Isaac Borrow Park where coppers do parade and all of those things. Can I go to the National Youth Service Corps, talk to them about computer-aided design, do some demonstration about computer-aided design, and come back? So they granted me. So for those 3 days, I was not coming to work. Just give me transport, let me go. I brought 150 names. When I gave it to the marketing officer, the man said, David, you have put us in trouble. I said, why? I said, sir, we need people, we need customers so that they will pay salaries. He said, the problem is, after now, we will not hear the last of it. Can't you see, David? Can't you see, David? Can't you see? You know, talking about this, that when you now do the now start hating you in your office. That was what happened. A time now came, they had to employ emergency instructors because the people that were coming were much. The day I wanted to resign, I and the man quarreled. No, we have to quarrel. That person is leaving you. The man was angry. Eh? Can't you stand build this thing with me? See how far we have come. Don't worry. I can give you shares in the company. And say, I don't want. I'm going. I am going, sir. The spirit of enterprise. Some of you are too dignified to do anything. You can sell something. You can sell something, but not me. A whole me. Some of you have businesses nobody knows about. You have skills nobody knows about. People in your contact list, they don't even just to post on your page. I do inverter. I can fix this. I can fix that. But you are too fresh. You are too fresh to dirty your hand. How would they call me mechanic? Just develop yourself in such a way. Do you know, sometimes I sit with, Pastor Ekine, as I saw, sometimes we just sit down and like, where are we going to find good mechanic in this Abuja? And I said, you know our lamentation. See, there are people that are literally crying, waiting for people that will feel, fill up spaces. For instance, do you know how many times we came to this church and announced, please, if you are interested in learning graphic design, come and learn. If you are interested, only 2 people showed up. When they show up, they'll give this one assignment. The road bent. Then the tree came out and hit my face. Then I could not. All those graphic designs you see, do you know how much church spends every month on graphic design? This ministry spends $300,000 on graphic design every month. There are many times we sit down, we are looking for, we say, okay, we want to employ somebody. Who will we employ? Who will we give this thing to? You give to someone. We wanted to do someone next up. You will call one person. Edit now. Every week, give us 5 videos. I go now. I got angry one day. That was 2 years ago. I got angry. I said, okay, since we are looking for somebody, just listen to the sermon. Understand the sermon. Find out 2 minutes of the sermon that was sharp. Cut it, edit it, make it neat so that people can hear about the sermon and want to listen to it. You will give excuse. You will use 2 weeks to do one. We have preached. So I got angry. I went and downloaded CapCut myself, Pastor David. In 1 year, I made almost 400. I did it to the point where graphic designers were like, who did this thing? I said, it's me. Lazy. People are just lazy. I know everywhere is quiet. Everybody collecting your shot. Be collecting. So what we do in 1 week, what somebody's supposed to do in 2 minutes. You know, when you study the Bible, hey, Jesus, oh my God. When you study the Bible, many of the people that we say God blessed, many of those people, it is true God blessed them. But if you check very well, they were industrialists too. Yeah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Let's not go far. Let's start with Abraham. Abraham, the Bible says Abraham had 318 trained servants born in his own house. He took those servants to war against kings, defeated the kings and came back. I want to ask you a question. Who was training the people? Who was training them? Obviously, either Abraham trained some people, and those people that Abraham trained were training the servants. Are you with me? And now, if they were born in his own house, what were they doing? What were they waking up in the morning to do? Or you think they were just waking up and say, any food day? And they will eat and go back and sleep. We don't have all the details, but from the way you look at Abraham's life, it's like Abraham was giving into a lot of livestock. He was into buying and selling livestock. It looked like Abraham had farms too. It looked like Abraham was also giving into digging of wells, because in Genesis 26, the Bible tells us that the Philistines went and closed up all the wells that Abraham digged. That's the Philistine army. Let's think, how many wells did Abraham dig for the entire army of the Philistines to go after closing the wells? Please, are you with me? This generation, do you even know what a well is? Some people have not seen a well before. It's just borehole, just tap, you know. You want to pump water, you go and press the sumo. So you fetch like this, eh? Now, think about Isaac. The wells that Abraham digged that were closed by the Philistines, the Bible says Isaac went and began to dig those wells again. That looks like Daddy had a business. The business did not work. You can revamp it. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Daddy had an idea, but somehow it did not play out the way he wanted it to play out. You can actually revamp it. Before we talk about the spiritual, this is natural. On a natural basis, see, I don't feel, I have some reservations, some biases towards certain things. I feel that if you are coming out of school, don't begin a remote job. Go and work in an office. Get used to the rigor. Are you with me? Because if you are used to being staying in the house, you don't know what it is to show up early in the morning, to meet targets, to be under pressure. I've worked with different bosses. So I've had, see at the companies I was talking about, I've had many bosses. Praise the Lord. I know I'm dragging this matter. I know I'm pressing it, but please listen. Get it. Most of the people that God blessed were industrialists. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Study about Solomon. Yes, God blessed Solomon. Solomon, they do business, You can read the book of 1 Kings, 2 Kings. Solomon will buy horses at cheaper rates and resell them at higher rates to kings. He will buy them as just horses, build them into chariots. You know, the other time I was saying, what was he doing with 1,400 or 12,000 chariots? Later, I discovered that many of those things, it was business he was doing. As blessed as Solomon was, he was thinking of ways. There are so many, he was still thinking of business ideas. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's not a business, because I wanted to say some things. And then, when you begin to make money, when you have started learning how to gather money, you also have to plan for investments. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 27, so that steward that took his talent and planted it in the ground until the master came. The master came and said, okay, you would have put my money with the exchangers and I would have gotten some usury. That's old language to say things like, you would have invested the money, I would have gotten some interest. See, if you have not learned how to gather, to save, you cannot even start investing. That's the truth. So, on a basic level, you have to learn how to be diligent, learn how to put your hands to the plow, gather. Are you getting me? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say after me, I will be a tireless worker.
I
will be diligent in my assignment. In all that is committed to me, I will be diligent. Think about your life. Has there been any time something was committed to you and it failed? Start thinking about it and repent. Start thinking about it and say, I will do better. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And finally, for this morning, how does God prosper? By relationships.
Yes.
Yeah. God prospers people by relationships. If you will ever be prosperous, you must learn how to deal with people. The Bible says, blessed are the meek, Matthew 5 from verse 3, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. Who is a meek person? Someone who is humble. Someone who is understanding. Somebody who is peaceful. Somebody who is relatable. You cannot be rude and broke at the same time now. Who knows what I'm talking about? There are some bold people that they will never make money. Once somebody enters the car and say, please, can you reduce the volume? Hey, now your car be this. Wait till be that. Oh God, please reduce. If you don't want to enter this car, I'm dropping. Then you now put on the review. Bad. Imagine it does that to four people. You cannot be rude and broke at the same time. But if you want to inherit the earth, Jesus says, calm down, be meek. Farabale, take it easy. Learn how to walk with people. Learn how to talk. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That even reminds me. When we were talking about value, there was something I was supposed to say. Many times, when God wants to lift a man, what he will do is, like Joseph, he will bring you into the presence of somebody who has a dream but cannot interpret it. Are you with me?
Yes,
and you may not be that great. You may not have all the money. You may not have all the connections, all the networking and all of that. But you have the interpretation of somebody's dream.
Yes, sir.
By the time you begin to serve that person, the person will lift you to the point where you can now have your own network, your own riches. That's what happened to Joseph. What happened to Joseph? But now there are many people, they are brought into such opportunities, they don't serve, they don't contribute, they always complain. They just use us for this place, they just use us for this place. See, it's only those who are used that will become useful.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, in life, many times, God will allow it that people will use you, you will work more than what you are being paid, and at a certain point, you will be paid more than what you work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Relationships. Learn how to invest in people. Learn how to build relationships. Learn how to build friendships. When you are in a community, when you are in a church, let them know you. Serve. Be committed. When you are anywhere you find yourself, let it be known that if they give you something to handle, this person will deliver. People know you, say, no, that guy is a nice guy. No, he's a correct guy. No. He knows what he's doing. So now, you are skillful, but you have good relationship skills. Do you realize that what took Joseph to the palace was not just like an interpret dream? What happened? Read Genesis chapter 40 from verse 7 to verse 23. You will see the story there. He was the keeper of the prison. He woke up one morning and saw his colleagues or his inmates there looking sad. And he asked them, why are you so sad? What's the problem? They now told him, we had dreams we cannot interpret. He said, okay, I can interpret dreams. At least I know that dreams come from God and God can give interpretations. And then he interpreted their dreams, and it was one of them that recommended him 2 years later. That means, oh my God. The ability to just check on someone that you are connected to and be there for them can be what will rescue you in the future.
Yes, sir.
It is true, Joseph had a gift. He had a value-adding skill. Joseph was diligent, yes, but Joseph also had relationship skills. This character where every small thing you get angry, you flare up, you change this for everybody, is not helping you. You are losing more than you know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Learn how to say thank you. Learn how to contribute to the progress of a place. Ah! There was one of us in our Port Harcourt church. When everybody is working, this guy will give his all like that. He was done with his first level of education. I think HND or WND, I don't really know how it works. And then one day, me, left for me. I wish I could have sent him to the university. It was somebody in church that walked up to him and said, what is your plan? He said, okay, I'm done with this. Would you want to go to, I will train you. There are some people, they prefer. Someone just sees them, gives them money. But wherever they found themselves, they will not be committed. No, they don't. See, you don't know how God works. You don't know how God works. Everywhere you find yourself, on a basic level, be a value-adding personality. Be diligent and skillful and have good character. If you have these three, you know, I want to say something. On this issue of diligence and good character, let me tell you, when you are going wrong, the painful part of it is that when you are going wrong, most times people will not tell you. They don't want to hurt you, so they will not tell you. It's just that when they are looking for somebody to recommend, they will not call you. When you have a bad reputation, you cannot trust that one. No. If the person, you cannot. When they are, by the time they start telling you that you are not doing well, it has gone very far. So on your own, you have to assess yourself. Assess yourself. There are some people in the office, when they want to let go of people, they say, okay, now the company is doing restructuring. We need to sack some people. Their name will come first. Say, everyone say, we agree. Remove him. There was somebody that was doing some work for us in church. I just called Obina and Pastor Kine, called admin. I said, please, by the time the mode is ending, sack him. You should go. Bye. We love you, but please, don't work for us again. Please. We love you. Bye. Please. We have been managing since. We have been feeling it. Yakubu cannot manage again. Please. Not that he's doing us, I want to die. We have died and resurrected. Go. Some people's character, every time fight. At a point, you say, we know you are skillful, but please, go. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see the kingdom of God. Are you blessed this morning?
Yes, sir!
Jump on your feet. I know it was a hard service for some people. Because Pastor, there are many things I wish I could say. Some people, they don't know how to say thank you. You give them something, they will reply you 1 week, thanks. If somebody gives you a gift, sends you money, does something for you, the person has to check on you. Did you see that thing I sent? Once he gets to that point, know that you did not do well. Next time, if the person wants to send 50 kids, no, let's make it 30. No, that guy, let's make it 30. Don't be carried away when somebody says, when you are telling a person, thank you, person, don't mention. Mention, no. Don't mention. He said, oh, don't worry. The day I knew in this life, thank people, whether they, years ago, we're having an anniversary, our first year anniversary. A woman came, said, oh, I've been so blessed by this church. I want to sponsor the food for the anniversary. We say, ma, please don't worry. He said, I will do it. Sponsored food, sponsored cake. We say, ma, can we call you out? Let us pray for you. He said, no! It is for God. It's for Jesus. Don't call me out. Please, pastor, don't make me angry. I said, sorry, ma. They were now sharing the food, and I think God allowed it that way. The person sharing now missed her. I did not know. I would have blown the person. The person now missed her. Come and see drama. She insulted all the workers. Went to the place where they were serving. Don't you know I'm the one that paid for it? You will come and honor me. She shouted at everybody. Shouted at everybody. Shouted and shouted. Got angry, entered her car and drove away.
And I caught somebody. I think he said, don't mention.
Hey! And then I said, leave all those words. No matter how humble a person is, or thank the person. Are you with me? They will note it. So what are the things, natural things to do on a basic level? Number one, have a value-adding skill. Are you with me? Number two, the spirit of diligence and industry. Number three, relationships. Can you just exalt the name of Jesus? Bless him.
Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We worship you. We thank you because your word works in us, changing us and making us prosper. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you.